today, just for today. And it's page 181, and it says, He is alive. And I thought it'd be appropriate to go back and do this one. And it says this, and it says in Matthew 28:6, He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lay, my Lord. It says, Jesus of Nazareth was crucified nearly 2,000 years ago. His death is a well-documented fact of history. He was laid to rest in a borrowed tomb, and a stone was placed securely before the entrance. The tomb was sealed with a Roman seal, thus forbidding any person to remove the secured stone from its setting. But the good news is that you will not find the remains of Jesus Christ in that tomb. Amen. On the third day, He rose again and made alive by the power of God. And today, He sits at the right hand of God in glory. He has been granted a name that is above every name. Casual spectators will not be able to comprehend or see the actuality of His existence. But sure evidence exists that He lives and participates with the human race today. The most outstanding evidence, the most irrefutable evidence, and the most obvious evidence exists in the lives of those who give their hearts to Him. In these He comes to live and dwell. In these He is constantly performing the miracle of transformation. It is my sincere hope and prayer that you can see Jesus Christ alive and well in me. Mm-mm-mm. He is alive and well, people. He has transformed many, many lives, my Lord, because that's the kind of God He is. Anyone, it says, that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, no matter what. It is Him. It is Him. If you would take your Bibles and let's make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit in Jesus' name. Somebody texted Jelaine and said that there was something on the front row for us. Thank you. Appreciate that. If you could see what's in the front row here, I'm going to have to come in and show you. I'm going to have to show you. Somebody knows we love Goldbrick. This is what they brought and left for us. Now, you know what? Jelaine and I have not eaten supper yet. So I'm sure there will be a few missing by the time we get home. That is, you know. Yeah. Amen. We do. That's Marie and Greg, and we do thank them for all that they've given unto us. Also, just to let you know, Andrew and Haley, do you know I have your tie, the tie you gave me? And also, I'm wearing the suit for your wedding. He wants it back. He can't have it back. You know why? Okay, this is what they did with it. Andrew and Haley. Haley, this is a picture of my mom and I. She passed away about 2 years ago. And I remember she'd come eat just about every Sunday at our house because she'd come to church. And one day she said, Joe, just come sit on my lap. I thought, oh, my God, what now? You know, you just never know. Okay, you know, and that's the picture, which I was surprised for Christmas that they put on the back, forever treasured. So thanks again for all that you've given and stuff. And so, you know, Easter is a very precious time, and I know maybe it might be time where we miss people, but I tell you what, they wouldn't come back. Oh, Okay? They won't come back. They're with their Lord and Savior. And one day we'll be with Him. My Lord, what a day that will be when our Jesus comes back for us. My Lord, what a day that will be. I want you to turn, and we're going to just kind of back it up just a little bit. I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 12. You know, last week was Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday was something that happened with Jesus. You remember when he was going into Jerusalem and he was riding on a colt that had never been ridden before. And it says that the mother was behind the colt, which is very unusual, empty. And he was going into Jerusalem, and they started to lay down palm branches and their coats and whatever outer garment they could do. Sit down, please. Sir? Yeah, sit down. Don't move that much, okay? Not during the sermon, okay? We want to worship our God. Let me tell you. But, you know, we have to keep things down a little bit after. We need to listen to the word. But thank you. You're welcome, sir. And so, you know, as Jesus was going into Jerusalem, it says that they just started shouting because they were so excited about what God was doing. They thought Jesus was coming and he would set up his throne in Jerusalem. They didn't realize that he was coming to die. You know, before we can grow in Christ, we have to die to self. We have to die to the things that we held on to. No matter what it is, we have to die to it and saying, Lord, I surrender everything to you. Jesus was coming in, and it says in 12:13, John 12:13, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him. And they cried, Hosanna, which means saved we pray. Blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. Now that was an amazing thing. These people were so excited about their king that they were shouting. I mean, they were literally shouting that things would tremble. They were so excited about the things of the Lord, about Jesus Christ. Also, it says in Matthew 21:9, if you would turn there. 21:9. It says this, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's turn to Mark chapter 11, page 1737. Read it again, what they were saying. Mark 11:9, it says this, and they who went before and they who followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So here we see three instances in John, Matthew, and Mark, where one of them said, blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Or Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Mark, blessed, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's just face it, they were worshiping. Ooh, my Lord. You see, we get excited about worship unto our God because, you see, we know we've been brought back to life. We were close to death. Maybe, you know, physically, yeah, we all dying every day, but we were close to death, and God came in and gave us a purpose to live for because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. These people, it should be, is it on now? All right. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. My Lord, what a God we serve. We're to worship him, to honor him, to praise him. Because look, Without God and His Son Jesus, look, probably almost every one of us would be 6 feet under pushing up daisies. But because of the hope that God gives to humanity through His Son Jesus Christ, we can now come and celebrate what God has done in our hearts and in our lives. In being born again, being saved by the grace of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit. My Lord, what a God we serve. My Lord, that we get excited about Him. See, it's those Spirit-filled people that live on the other side of the tracks that a lot of people, religious people, get scared of. We just get excited because we know without God there's no hope in this world or even in our lives, my Lord. We get excited about the things of the Lord. And we want God to move in our churches, to move in our lives, to move in our families. My God, what a God we serve. It says, He died on the Friday. It was brutality, people. I know we're celebrating His resurrection, but let me tell you, it was brutality. Brutal. He just didn't walk up to the cross, lay down, and they put nails through His hands and feet, and they picked it up. Look, it was brutality. It was almost inhumane what they did to this man. All because of hatred in their heart. And they thought He would topple down their religious hierarchy. You see, that tells me this. Don't ever let hatred reign in your heart. Don't let hatred reign in your heart towards anyone or anything. That doesn't mean you don't disagree. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't let hatred run in. And you might say, what do? You get with God. And you say, Lord, help me. See, Jesus told the people the truth. And they didn't like Him. But Jesus loved the people. He loved the people, all of humanity. It says in John 19, let's turn there. John 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I do want to thank you for coming Saturday night. Amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Look at verse 1 to 3, 19, 1 to 3. It says, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged Him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they put on Him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote Him with their hands. That means they hit our Lord. They just didn't go up and just, oh. It says that they would, some of them would close their hands with a full and hit His face. Some would, with an open hand, would slap Him so hard. When we know Jesus had the power to call angels to come and rescue Him, but He didn't. You know what kept Him from doing that? Was the love He had in His heart for humanity. The love He had in His heart for humanity. For you. He looked. Jesus was looking. And God the Father in heaven was looking to 2,000 or so years later for the future. Seeing you when you got saved. Seeing how He loved you so much that He allowed His only begotten Son to go through an evil, because sin is so horrible, people. And that's what broke the relationship with God when Adam and Eve sinned. And so God had to bring back humanity because he loved us so much. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalm 16, page 887. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his blood, huh? My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, what a God we serve. Psalm 16, verse 10 and 11. Look at this. And really, this is talking about Jesus Christ, really. For you will not leave my soul in hell. And that just means the paradise part, okay? Neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11, you will show me the path of life, which is what? The resurrection. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Even in the Old Testament, people, talking about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. You know, God didn't make a plan when Adam and Eve sinned. He had a plan. He knew what would happen. Look, he has a plan for your life. He knows what you're going to go through next week, next year, next 10 years. He has a plan for you. Don't ever think your life is caught off guard and God doesn't know anything. It's never caught off guard as we surrender to him. The power of the Spirit of Almighty God is upon our lives. And he will show us and he will be with there and he will help us. The resurrection spirit that's in our Lord and Savior is down upon the earth today, called the Holy Spirit. My Lord, my Lord. And the Holy Spirit is moving to elevate and lift up Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. Our faith needs to ever be in what Jesus did and nothing else, people. Zero else. Not in humanity, not in religion, not in any church, any person, any pastor, but in Jesus Christ and who he is. My Lord, my Lord. He's the only one. Now, God uses the local church. He set up the local church. Now, you're probably asking me, but Pastor, are all churches set up by God? No. A lot of them are set up by man. When it's set up by man, you feel no spirit at all. But when it's set up by God, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit moves. Look, as a body of believers, as the church of the living God throughout the world, we need a touch from Almighty God. We need the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in us, in our hearts, in our lives. You might say, well, Pastor, what can I do? You keep your heart right with him and you run to him. You stay before him saying, Lord, help me throughout my life. Help me in all the things that I endeavor to do for you. Lord, move upon my heart. Move upon my life. And let the Spirit of God work in you and through you. Amen. I want you to turn to John chapter 20, page 1894. Look at starting with verse 7. It says this. After Jesus was crucified, they took Jesus' body down. And they wrapped him up. They put spices on his body. They wrapped him up for burial. They put him in an empty tomb that had never been used before. You know, really, Jesus deserves the best. He deserves the best. Jesus deserves the best of your life. How many people I've heard say, well, I'm going to serve God later on in years. He deserves your best now. He loves you. He doesn't want you to go through turmoil and heartache. Even though you're serving him, you might go through that. But let me tell you, it's easier when you have the big brother and your Savior with you than if he's not there with you. My Lord, there's a difference. Here we see in John 20, look at verse 7. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And the commenter said, this shouted resurrection. Then went also that our disciples, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, because it was empty. For as they, yet they knew not the scripture, for he must rise again from the dead. They walked in, and all the things they put upon him, the linen clothes, was taken off and wrapped up and put. And the linen, the napkin that was upon his face. You know, they said they beat him so bad that his face was, you couldn't recognize him. And they had it in a different place there, wrapped up. No one stole the body of Jesus. It says he went in there on the Friday. And on that Sunday, he rose from the grave. He rose from the grave. No one else has ever done that before. You might say, well, look at Lazarus. He came back to life. There's a difference. He had to die again. Jesus didn't have to die again. He had a resurrected body. My Lord. Which one day, when Jesus comes back for us, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, it says. My Lord, my Lord. We shall put on from corruption to incorruption the glorified body that Christ has intended us to have since the beginning of time. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Even some of the disciples didn't believe. Can you imagine? The ones that were with him for three and a half or so years, he kept telling them that he was going to die. He used different scenarios. And he said, I'll rise again. All day yesterday and all day today, you know, people would say, when customers come and you just say, and I'd say, Happy Easter, and I'd say, Happy Resurrection Sunday. Or Happy Resurrection. And they would kind of like, oh, you see. Because it's all about him. See, Jesus could have died, but if he didn't resurrect, there would be no victory for mankind. People, it's all in the resurrection. People say, well, he was born, and that's important because he had to be born. But if he wouldn't have died, and that was his mission on earth from the God the Father, was to die a horrible death because sin is so horrible, to pay the price for eternity. Through what he did on that Friday, the blood that flowed out of his head, his hands, his side, his body, has now saved millions upon millions of people till today. Has cleansed sin upon our lives. His blood. Can you remember when you got saved? I remember. After the prayer was prayed, I remember the pastor asked me, well, how do you feel? And I said, I just feel light. I was only 15. I hadn't killed anybody. You know, I hadn't, done, you know what I mean? You know, but sin is sin, people. You know, sin is sin because it eliminates you from God. You see? And so, but I just said, I feel free. I feel light. And what it was that the blood of Jesus had come and taken all those things out, cleansed. You see? Sometimes we need to remember what Christ has done for us. That salvation time of what he did for us and crave for him to keep cleansing you, cleansing you, cleansing you, because he's trying to get us to the place where we are like him. Amen. John 11:25. If you would turn there, please. Preached on this, well, reference to it last week and the week before. Jesus said unto her, which was Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. People remember that. He was declaring his resurrection and life even though he hadn't gone to the cross yet. He was declaring you free from the bondages and myself free from the bondages of this world. My Lord, even before he went to Calvary's cross, he said, Martha, and she was coming out to tell him, he's been dead 4 days. He's in the tomb. He stinks. You know, she's trying to, and he turned her away from the problem. You see, we need to make sure we keep our heads out from the problem and we put our minds and hearts on the solution, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the solution. He is the resurrection and life. He didn't stop at resurrection. He is our resurrection, but also he is our life, what he's given unto us. He's given us resurrection power, and he's given life to the church body. My Lord, life. It's an amazing thing, life. You know how many people look and say, man, what's the meaning of life? Age old question, huh? What's the meaning of life? And, you know, the only thing I have to tell them is that Jesus is the meaning of life. Because he is the life. Without him, there's no life. Without him, there's death. Without him. When he rose from the grave, the earth shook. He did, and there's many things he did, and we can't get into everything, but many things he did before he went to the Father. He was showing his power and his strength to the world. We read about in what it said in John chapter 12, verse 13, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. Matthew 21:9 said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It says in Mark 11:9, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. People, praise unto him. It doesn't stop there. I want you to turn to Psalms 118. Verse 26. Look at this. He says it in the Old Testament. It's always confirmed, old and new, with each other. It says this in verse 26. And be he who comes in the name of the Lord, we have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. My Lord, my Lord. At the great millennial reign, Christ will once again come into Jerusalem. You know the great millennial reign? That's the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the rapture of the church. He comes and we're taken out of here and we with him for 7 years. We with him forever, but then we come back with him. And then after a few things, the millennial reign takes place. This will be done again. During the great millennial reign, Christ will once again come into Jerusalem and Israel will shout these words all over again. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Future event. my Lord, my Lord. The difference will be that now Israel is a redeemed Israel, and they now know who he is. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Wow. Look at this. The future is that we are going to do it again. He's coming through Jerusalem again. And we will be with him. We will be there in the new Jerusalem. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. What a God we serve. We'll be able to shout like they shouted in Matthew, Mark. My Lord. We'll be able to shout, Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The future event, people. It's coming. It's coming. My Lord. Jesus was king when he went in the heavens next to the Father on the right hand. Jesus was king when born over 2,000 years ago to Joseph and Mary. Jesus was king when he died on Calvary's cross. Jesus was king, now the resurrected king, because the tomb is empty. Jesus is king because he finished and completed his task upon the earth and reconnected the Father with the creation through his blood. Jesus is king, and he's coming again. My Lord, I wanted you to turn to one last scripture in Revelation chapter 19. When are we going to be coming? My Lord, Revelation 19. Don't be scared of the book of Revelation. Don't be scared of that book. Read it. Read it. It says blessed is the only book that says blessed. If you read it. Look at verse 11. It says, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True. That's Jesus, Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no name knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon the white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This is what I want to get to. And he has on his vesture, a vesture was like a robe, a garment, some type of clothing. It says that his name was written, and on it said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Oh, my Lord. Jesus rose from the grave over 2,000 years ago. An event that happened in such a secluded place in Israel. But yet 2,000 years later, the world is stopping to recognize that our Savior resurrected. Who, my Lord? Your Savior resurrected. All these other gods that they, little g, like Muhammad and all these other ones, they're not God like Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that could bring life to your spirit and life to your soul. We look to him as our God, the resurrected Lord. And what he did for us is not just another day we have on the calendar that we can eat ball crawfish or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. But it's a day that when we wake up in the morning, we can say, Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Did we deserve a resurrected king? No. But God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you wake up tomorrow, just say this, Lord, thank you. Father, thank you. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us. And let that resurrected power of the Holy Ghost, like in Acts chapter 2 and 10. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, that came to those people as cloven tongues of fire, my Lord, praising their God and worshiping their God. He's the God, like in Ezekiel, that can bring life back to bones that have been dead. My Lord, bring life. He's the resurrected King. Always look to him and thank him for what he's done for us. Amen.